stuck in the cellar. Im mashmesh be'ein of kadesh yehei nirayu. Which on the face of it is baffling. Can you really imagine that Yosef HaTzadik was in the business of putting on mascara or combing his hair with the, you know, having it coiffed professionally, and that he was busy with something like this? It just doesn't lack. But I once heard a thought which is moiridic. The Mesalsel Besar, let's understand that there's a Mishnah which speaks about the concept of haircuts and hierarchy. And consequently, you've got a Kohen Gudel which has a haircut once a week, and a Melech which has a haircut b'chol yoy. And that is in order because there's a Pusik which says, Melech b'yof yoy techzenu einecho. A king, in his, so to speak, in his majesty, that is how you should, that is how you should view him, and that's how you should see him. And consequently, Elif Avdulis, the president of the United States of America, has a barber chair in the White House, and before he goes out for any public meetings, they coiff him, they tidy him, so that he should look the part, and how to say, not a hair out of line. So we see that there is an association, first of all, with Malchus and Heka. Now, there's also a concept of Einayim. Einayim is usually associated with vision. And the next week, Sedra Miketz, you see clearly that the difference between Yosef HaTzadik and the rest of them was that Yosef HaTzadik recognized, as people who are in the banking world and in the share market, that there's a difference between a bear market and a bull market. And although the people are driving around in Maseratis and Lamborghinis when things are going well, they frequently fail to put aside what's necessary, because around the corner things don't spell so good. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik, at the moment that there was an abundance of wheat, tons of it, and he said, no, you put this inside huge pits. He says, and every grain gets accounted for. I'm responsible in administration. I said, but what do you mean? There's tons of this stuff. What, you were getting excited about a few grains here and there? No. I see now people groveling around in a 7 years' time on the ground with their tongues out looking for something to eat because they're parched and they're starving hungry. And to see this now, you have to be ein nuvo in v'chucham kamoichu. And that's an inyan of vision. That's something where a person sees ahead. A person can see, not then, but at this point, to see what is going to happen. And consequently, Yosef HaTzadik was the man who was elevated to the place of viceroy in Mitzrayim. So, Memaila, let's come back to it. Where does the word Na appear earlier on, which has got an association, and we can understand what the word means? Na is impetuosity. Impetuosity, which means jumping the gun, somebody who's quick to hop ahead before the time comes. And the best raya would be last week's Sedra, Lehavdl, by Shrem and Chamor, by Le'echa Hanar, La Sois Haduvo, Ki Chufeit Shplevas Yankoi. He was so consumed in his lust for this girl that he really was not interested about the consequences of an entire city circumcising themselves. Uge Lombia, Ta ganze Stud, Shkenaf Geminet. He needs this girl, he wants her, and he wants her now. Le'echa Hanar, La Sois Haduvo, Fabus. So you have the association with Na, somebody who jumps ahead of the time and tries to, so to say, jump the gun. The Havdol, so Yosef HaTzadik recognized that through his veins was pulsating the blood and the flow of majesty. He was a person who kingdom and the dynasty of kingdom was running through his veins. And Yankov recognized that too. But Yankov said to him, Chapnish, for Uviv Shumar Saduva, it will come, but don't do it at the expense of inflaming your brother's anger towards you. So Meile, now coming back to our Rasha, the Salsi Besaroi and Memashmash Ba'enov were, so to speak, key factors to show that he is in a different league. This is a man that's built for majesty. This is a man that's built for kingdom. This is a man who's a youth now, but he's got leadership, he's got vision, and he's got the Geninei Malchus, as it says. So therefore, the combing of the hair is something which is, how to say, associated strongly with Malchus, like the Mishnah says that the king has his hair cut every single day, and the vision, the Mamash Mishpa'inov, means that a leader has the ability to look ahead, which gives us a little bit of a glimpse into a Russia which is, on the face of it, an exceedingly puzzling Russia. From there we go on to the next Pusik, and then it says that he Vayiri Oiso, Vayiri Echov, Ki Oiso, Uha Vavir Mikol Echov, Vayisni Oiso, Velo Yochlo Dabro Neshulam. And then it says like this. This is an interesting Sach. Vihinei Anachni Ma'almi Malime Besoech HaSude, Vihinei Kumo Alimusi V'gam Nitzubo. The passage goes on to describe the dream. The dream was that there were sheaves of wheat, and all of them bowed down to Yosef HaTzadik's Alim. Now, there it says there's a difference in the Lushan between the first dream and the second dream, as we'll pick up soon. And the Mushal which is given is the large seed function, or the large JLE function, which happens in Weiss and Grosvenor House. And they've got the guest of honor who's paying for the whole thing. And finally, when the time comes, a lot of time for him to come, a cool Rolls Royce pulls up outside the hotel. Out comes the chauffeur, puts an envelope, and goes to the seat where the benefactor is supposed to be, and he places the seat there next to the chairman's place. And the chairman, who is curious, goes over there, picks up the check, and he sees there £1,200,000, and that the check was written out to the JLE. And then he picks up the phone, and he phones up the fellow, and he says to him, "I don't understand. You're supposed to be here in 10 minutes because everybody's waiting for you, your guest of honor tonight." He says, no, you're not waiting really for me. You're waiting for my check. My check arrived. I've got lots of other things to do with my time. I haven't got time to blow 3 hours tonight for dinner. Please forgive me. I settled my dues, and please, I hope this is going to suffice. Zog the Pusik. There's two dreams here. One of them is Gashmias, and the other one is Rochmias. And therefore, Yosef HaTzadik was the one who was out towards Mitzrayim as the viceroy, and he was Zonne, Mephanes, and Mechalkel, the entire world. From his place and from his position, he had thousands and hundreds of thousands of people coming with sacks, and he gave each one of them the allotment of wheat and of what they were supposed to have in order to sustain themselves. The Masa, all that is fine, so when the Shvutim came and they prostrated themselves in front of Yosef. What did they come for? A checkbook. They needed to live. They needed to exist. They needed to eat. And they came with their sacks and were arrested consequently. But later on, when they came for the second time and they came back to Mitzrayim and they all prostrated themselves, then there was a recognition after the viceroy said, "Ani Yosef, ha'oidu v'choi." And then they recognized that Yosef HaTzadik wasn't just the checkbook, but Yosef HaTzadik was the ultimate and most superior, even though he was Kotno Shel Shvutim, he was the greatest of them. And therefore, there's a difference in the two Chaloimois. The first Chulam, which is speaking about Gashmias, is Anachni Ma'almi Malimi Mesoy Chasude. Wheat, sustenance, food. What did they bow down to? La Alimusi. Because I'm the Mr. Wheat. I'm the man who's a sustainer. I'm the one who's got the dosh. I'm the one who writes the checks. But the second dream, which was to do with Rochnias, that Yosef HaTzadik was Taka superior, then it's Hashemesh v'hayurayach v'achadoy sekuchuvim mishtachavim li. Then it's to me, my achievements, my Rochniastike status of having been for so many years in the cesspool of Egypt with all the promiscuity that is there, and having survived it and having lived through it and still remained Oideni Betzitkusa Yosef HaTzadik. There's another Kenaich here, because it says Kuma Limusi V'gam Nitzuvu. Seems harmless enough. The dream seems to have this sheaf of wheat, and it starts to get its balance. It was in a lying position, and now it's going up to the vertical position. And Rashi says, why does it say kum alimus vigam nitzuvu? So Rashi says nizkefu, that this wheat bundle started to straighten itself. And then vigam nitzuvu, lamoid alamudo biskifo, which means now it's remaining, standing with a certain feskite, with a certain strength, with a robust way of standing. Well, what's going on here? There's not one letter in the Torah, or one dot, which is iberik, which is superfluous. So what does the pussy come to say here? It's my angefallen, I don't know if it's right, but could be. There were two parts to Yosef Tzadik's life. He was initially sold into slavery, picked up by Mr. Potiphar, who had in mind to use him for illicit interests. Subsequently, he became in Potiphar's house. Eineni gudol babayis hazeh yoseh mimeni. He was the man at the top. He was what they were calling the blue-eyed boy of the company. And here he was looking after Potiphar's affairs until Mrs. Potiphar decided that she had other plans for him. And then ultimately, from his elevated perch, he was thrust into a place where from a high mountain until a lowly pit, and that's exactly where he ended off, in that low pit, which was essentially the prison which Potiphar had was running there in Mitzrayim. So then he stayed there in this lowly position for a long time, and subsequently, when came the time when Pare had his chulam, then Yosef HaTzadik was removed from the pit. He was given a haircut, washed, cleaned, and then all of a sudden, within several hours, he's walking around, he's actually being driven around in a chariot, and he's called Avrech. This is the man who is now going to be the viceroy, that except for Paro, there's no man more powerful. And what happened to Yosef after that? He stayed permanently in this position until the last day of his life. So, Memaile, even in the Chulam, you've got the small deer here. Kumali Musi v'gam nitzuvu is Moiradik. Because the Kumali Musi symbolizes in the dream that the sheaf, which is Yosef's sheaf, it starts to rise and it starts to gain step. It starts to get itself into a position of strength. But it didn't stay there because he was thrust into jail afterwards. And put into a lowly state, even though he was on his way up, but the way up did not last in permanence. But then v'gam nitzuvu, the second time round, when he was taken out of the jail, and now he is, the viceroy of the entire land of Egypt, that's v'gam nitzuvu, zut rashe, lamoid ala muda beskifesiki, blibstein mit hafeskeit, I'm here to stay, royalty. Time for one more? Yeah. Okay. So, you have here there's a moiradik vort here, if I leave you with the questions, it's worthwhile having a peek at the psikim. It says like this: Shimon Alevi saw him coming. So it says, "Yom Rishelucha hinei balachalom esadu zebu, va'atu nachi v'nargai v'nashlichai ba'achat haboyros." We will throw him into one of the pits. I'll say it quickly so we get there. Boyreus is written without a vuv. V'yomani chay ruach losi v'nirei meyach lemoise. V'yish ma Ruven v'yitzelei miyudam v'yem lo enekani nufesh. And then Ruven says, "Al tishpachitom hashlichi oisel habo mule with a vuv." And then it says, "Vahika shabu Yosef el echov." Then it says, "Vayekuchi v'hashlichi oisel haboyro without a vuv v'haboyer with a vuv." You got one there. What's all this about? But do you think that Zera adds chuse, mule, mule, chuse, just as a minish dinish? So listen to this. It says like this. The original plan was by Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi said, "Let's not make qualms about it. We're going for him. But you're dying." And that's when it says, "Lechi v'nahargaihi." The nahargaihi means push it with the hand, throttle the guy. So what's the purpose of v'nashlichaihi ba'achat haboyros? There, the boyrus is written chusa. So the purpose of the boyr, when it's chusa, means that the boyrus can either kill, because havle, the boyr, is got the koich to kill, like the Gemara says, But if it's chusa, then it hasn't got enough intensity of bad air, and then in which case it won't asphyxiate. So what's the purpose of throwing you into the bore? To cover it up. Because once you cover up the evidence, then let's carry on with life. And then Reuven comes along and he says to them, yeah, I take your observations, but I must point out to you that although the area here, most of the pits are shallow, there is one pit which I know of in this area, which is actually 10 tvuchim. And that is enough to kill him. So why would you go and kill him? You die him if you can do it through Gruma. Chuck him into a pit, and whatever will happen to him will happen to him, and he'll die. And the Torah is made, testifies, that the reason that he did it was Leman Hatzil Oysem Yudom, that there was no sinister intention by Reuven at all. And then finally, the truth of the matter was that Reuven knew that they were right. And that the boar, in all the entire area, there was not a single boar which was deep enough to kill. And it was all a farce. But he went through and he told them that you should know that the boar which we're going to leave him there, that'll do the trick. It didn't. So now watch the pusik again. It's moiling. With the words of Shimon alive. And we'll throw him into there and we'll say, we've covered the evidence. The boy there is chusa. Why is it chusa? Because we know that there's no point in throwing him into the pit for any other reason except to conceal the evidence. And we'll say, a wild animal killed him. Go kill him with your bare hands. Chas v'shulam. Shift the car. V'yoyim aleim riven. Al tashmachidom. Hashlichi oisrael habor. Mule, there is one pit here that is Kedei Lehumis, and that is 10 Tvuchim deep. For Yodal Tishlechi boy, but don't do that. But the Torah says, Leman Hatzil Oysa Miyudom, that the purpose was really to save him. Kim Tzigai in the Pusik Vat, and it says, Ahi Kashabu Yosef Alecha Vashitos Yosef Kitontoi, and they put him into Vaikuchiv, and they took him, Ayashlichi Oysa Haboiru, this is the Torah speaking, that the boy was Chusa, because it couldn't kill, it was too shallow. The Haboyer, Mule, the one which is written now with the Vuv, that Reuven said that this is the pit which is actually going to kill him because it's deep enough, Reik Ein Boy Mayim, which concurs with the Gemurah that says that if you have a pit which is 9 Tvuchim deep and there's one Tefach of water, can also be Kedei Lehumis, because the one Tefach of water is like 2 Tvuchim of the depth of a regular pit. Remind that the Torah is Mayed, the Habor, which is Mule, which Reuven said, which was really Mule, you should know. The Torah is Mayed, Reik Ein Boy Mayim, there's no water in it, and therefore it was not Kedei Lehumis. That is Shkoyach.